Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Praising Jesus, bro.
Amen. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Blessed morning than I deserve.
All right. So you're all right
kinda,
there?
Kind of slurred that, didn't I?
Kind of slurred that one. All right. You're going to be reading some stuff for us later.
So yeah, I hope that doesn't continue on the
Let's get that pronunciation.
It's just your deep voice, bro. It sounded good, man.
So we are beyond excited at the fact that, you know, we finished a four-part series, and we're not going to tell you yet what the next one's on, but we already are having another one in the works for you guys. So praise God. And actually, I think that will turn into at least a five-part series for you guys as well. And we covered what I believe is one of the more important topics. It's a plague on our nation. It's a plague also, sadly, in a lot of homes and marriages where pornography has come and absolutely ruined entire families and fathers and mothers, and you know, has led that to other debaucherous things that have taken place after that. But, you know, we covered pornography, Satanism, sex trafficking, and show you how clearly they're interlinked, and very similarly to the way in They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll, how you pattern it back very clearly to not only Satan himself, right, but yep, also with Robert Johnson, and you just see this, the synergy behind this wickedness of the same philosophy being pushed over and over again. And we tried to do the exact same thing, and I think in a very excellent manner, we were able to show very clearly that Satan's fingerprint is all over, from the sexual revolution to pornography,
that's right,
Playboy, and now sex trafficking. And
it's undeniable. Yeah, it's spiritual.
You cannot get around it, guys. And especially, guys, if you've now, it is now Tuesday after we had just had the premiere on Friday for Satan's sex scheme, and this Friday we have Playboy's Satanic Link, and you guys are hopefully going to get a real good understanding of what's going on there. And we've done our best to make this available to you guys in a way that isn't going to cause anyone to stumble, but some of these things are just hard things to talk about. You know, I can just tell you personally, and I know Joe had the same thing, going through and researching this, these things are not easy to research and discover and see the wickedness behind it. But we do care about your souls, and we care about how Satan is coming after you. I mean, he really is. Over and over again, you're flooded with it on Facebook and Instagram, mm-hmm, and, you know, for younger people on TikTok and Snapchat, I would delete those apps. But nonetheless, you know, you see these things, and it's on billboards and everywhere, and Satan is trying to entice people in this way, and he's done this through a satanic link from the get-go.
Man. Yep.
And you covered it some 20 years ago, you know, when it came to, almost 20 years ago.
The Kinsey syndrome,
yeah. The Kinsey syndrome. And I was telling Joe before, I was like, I could not believe how relevant the Kinsey syndrome is right now. Like, yeah. Everything I've been seeing of people exposing this and Save the Children, all this stuff, I'm like, do you not know that there's this video out there that movie critic Ted Baer said is the most important documentary of the 21st century, and it's been sitting there waiting for people to see, yeah, and we're like, I know that when we were talking about it, I'm like, more people need to see this. I needed to see it,
yeah,
because it had been 10 years since I watched it. And I was like, wow, everything with Epstein, everything that you see now with sex trafficking, all this stuff.
Puts all in perspective.
Yeah. You were calling it out that this was where it was going to go. It's already terrible at that 2004. But in 2004, I believe when the release was.
It's 2008.
2008, I'm sorry. 2008, in that release, and I can say this because I was back, this is right after I was in high school. Most people did not have the capability now to watch high definition pornography in 0.4 seconds by typing in the right thing on their phone. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And you'll see the stories, as we have, of Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer. And Ted Bundy talks about walking across the train tracks, you know, and finding some, you know, messed, yeah, up, you know, ripped up pornography and stuff that was thrown in a trash can, where it's nowadays little children. Look how young kids now with cell phones. And now they can look at it like that. And it's right there at their fingertips.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It's by heartbreaking. The millions.
And they're being conditioned. It's soul ruining, man.
And when you look at it now, and what do we want to talk about? Because it's very relevant to everything else, is that, you know, with Kinsey, when it comes to him getting the laws changed in this country, and that is one of the ways, the normalization of pornography, the normalization of homosexuality, transgenderism, and also you deal with pedophilia now being normalized at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
There was recently a TED Talk we talked about on 511 News of a woman talking about, it's just, you know, a sexual orientation. It's how they're born. It's just the way it is. And we should just deal with it. You know, you don't want to lock them up or anything like that.
Yeah.
And now Joe's going to be talking about something that was put across, and we're recording this right now, and this just happened yesterday from recording this.
Yeah. Yeah, we went into the Institute of Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, which was like a Kinsey and Spahn, the Harvard for some people, of, you know, sexual, you know, education. And Chris, who I shot the Kinsey Syndrome with, we went there, drove to Frisco, which is, I don't know, like 5 hours from here. And we thought we're going to visit that. We're going to visit a couple places. It was some years back, so we were seeing if the Satanic Church might still be open at that time. And thankfully, that was not at residence in Frisco anymore. But we're going to ask some questions. And we kind of went in the front doors. We'll either put a clip of that video up from
the
Kinsey
Syndrome. We'll do it on the fifth part.
Or we'll do it on the fifth part.
Yeah.
But we walk in there. Chris has got the cameras, so you see the back of my head and some of my body. And we walk in there and, you know, we just ask some questions, because on their website, they say it's the right for all people. And keep in mind, on the same website, it talks about the website of this Kinsey Spahn Institute. It talks about how, you know, nobody shall be discriminated against on the basis of their age regarding practicing sexuality. What does that mean? There's no age of consent even, you know? So that was the main question I was going to ask them, and I did. You know, but it states on the website it's a right for all people, apparently with that other, you know, qualification, any age, to engage in sexual acts and activity whatsoever. It talks about viewing basically everything. And so I just basically asked them, you know, when I walked in, and then one gentleman he heard me talking. The main guy comes in, you know, and he kind of freaked out. He's waving his hands, telling us, we got to get out. He won't answer the question. And then, you know, he kind of says, well, we're not promoting any of that. So I said, ask me the question. What does that mean when you say you don't discriminate against anybody's age when it comes to, you know, sexual acts? And he didn't want to get specific. He just said he was calling the police. So, you know, we left, you know, but we just confronted it, you know, and we wanted the truth to come out. And so that's part of the Kinsey Syndrome. But what you see in the Kinsey Syndrome is all types of evidence. You know, Judith Reisman, under the Reagan administration, was given almost $1 million to investigate the connection between Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler, the mainstream pornographic magazines, and pedophilia, and promoting pedophilia. And she found hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cartoons with little kids involved in sexual type scenes, just desensitizing the public, showing you where a lot of the hearts and minds were of people that were involved. And we get in, as Chad said, into the occult connections to Playboy, yeah. Crowley connections, and to this whole movement.
Yeah, and as you can hear him talking about this going on, this is on their website. And not only do we show in the episode you're going to see this Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the YouTube channel of Good Fight Ministries and our Facebook page, show very clearly that not only does Satan helped, yeah, through Playboy, fund these institutes, but also even our government as well,
yeah,
has helped to fund these institutes that are pushing forth this narrative. And it should be of no surprise that the Prince of the Power of the Air is working through the sons of disobedience, any of those who would not succumb to Christ and to his will, that they are wanting to do their own will, and they're following after their father, who is the devil. And so when we see that happening at that level, and it was happening back in the 60s and the sex revolution. And then let's fast forward now to a senator by the name of Scott Wiener. He was put together.
This is all happening right now as we're talking.
Like I said, I was bringing it up. And I know Joe went and explained to you guys some of the stuff that he went to back in 2008. But now fast forward here, 12 years, and we're looking at Scott Wiener putting together SB 145.
That just passed the day before
we recorded this episode. Just passed, saying what exactly is it saying, Joe? I want to get this out to people.
Well,
so they understand.
Basically, you know, should be considered unlawful because it basically, you know, I'll just read an analysis which is real clear. Scott Wiener, Senator Scott Wiener, who is basically, keep in mind, this guy is he's a member of the California Legislative LGBT Caucus. There's pictures on his Twitter of him and other guys dressed in bondage. And this is the kind of senators we have right now in California. And he was the main proponent of this bill. And just an innocuous or...
Yeah, before you say that, I'll let you know. I'm looking right now at his Twitter, which is repulsive. But it says Senator Scott Wiener. This is his Twitter. It has the blue check, everything. And here's what it says. Hashtag up your alley fair. Hashtag door alley, hashtag leather, hashtag BDSM, hashtag LGBT. That's his Twitter. Look, you can see it yourself. It's disgusting. And he's with, as Joe already mentioned, he's with a bunch of guys that are into BDSM and disgusting. It's grotesque. They're shirtless. I don't even know what I got to turn this off. This is disgusting.
Except for the scant leather over there.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disgusting and heartbreaking. And these guys a lot of these guys are after our children. That's the end game. Yeah. That's what we show in the Kinsey syndrome. We show Crowley himself, who is really the spiritual father of the sexual revolution in our country. We show you quotes where he said he's going to go after the boys, you know, and he's going to go after America. And we documented that in the Kinsey syndrome, and I documented some of that, and They Sold Their Souls, the 10-hour version.
And a recent documentary as well.
That's right. Well, yeah, then we get into depth in it.
Yeah.
So it passed SB 145, the Assembly 41-25. With only 13 abstentions and no Republicans supported the bill, and 11 Democrats, thankfully, 11 was somewhat of conscious at least, voted no along with the Republicans. But it's interesting because the analysis of the bill is, this bill states non-forcible sodomy, oral copulation, and sexual penetration with a minor do not require mandatory sex offender registration now, unless there is a 10-year gap between the minor and the other person. However, a court may still require registration if it deems appropriate. And it goes on. So the idea is that a 24-year-old man can now, you know,
sodomize
go to high school
and
seduce a 15-year-old girl into having sex with him, sodomize her.
Threaten them to say it was consensual. I mean, how do you prove it was not?
Well, one reason there's ages of consent is we realize that a young people, you know, 15, 16-year-olds, they're very pliable. They're very easy to manipulate. They don't have a lot of scruples oftentimes. And they're easily seduced with money, rich guys, and what have you. These guys are, a lot of these guys are after our boys, okay? Mm-hmm. These men here. And that's what this is about. Many of these, and I, you know, it says it'll be like the days of Lot, right? Sodom and Gomorrah. It says the older guys and the younger guys surrounded Lot's house. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're becoming like, just like Jesus said, it'll be like the days of Lot. And so we're here. And so this guy, you know, writing for the California Globe, Katie Grimes writes, quote, and I read this today, her article. The California legislature has made a practice of whittling away at existing state laws designed to protect minors. You hear that, guys? The California legislature has made a practice of whittling away at existing state laws designed to protect minors from sexual predators. This is ironic, given the prevalence of human trafficking and child sex trafficking in California, something Democrats claim to care about. Obviously, a lot of these Democrats don't care. They don't care about these kids. These kids are prey to a lot of them and to their friends. So they look at them as
They didn't get them in the womb. They would.
That's
they don't
right.
Mind killing them in the womb.
They
either.
Want people from the womb to the tomb, practically. And we show in the Kinsey syndrome where they're actually molesting kids as
months
young as
old.
5 months old. You know, and with Kinsey's Kinsey's direction. And I mean, Kinsey's the father of the sexual revolution here, right? See, Crowley's a spiritual father. So when you get a good look at it, you say, what's going on here? You see there's a spiritual dynamic and they want the kids. And we've been saying that for years. And we warned about that in the Kinsey syndrome. And here it's happening right here in California. Now, guess what? A 24-year-old man can, you know, go after a 14-year-old girl or, you know, 15-year-old girl. And it's not going to be is going to be considered a sexual offender or registered as a sexual offender. This is wicked, man.
You know, it's interesting because we talk so much about Kinsey, and I didn't bring this out. I just found it to be fascinating, the fact that when it comes to sex trafficking, a lot of people had their first foray in terms of seeing the wickedness of it simply from Hollywood, from Taken, right?
Yeah.
So Taken was a huge movie that was about this daughter being taken, and Liam Neeson was going to save the day. And it's like you have him here as the savior of his daughter who's being sex trafficked and sold on the, you know, on the market there. But then let's go backwards in time.
Mm-hmm.
Who did he play in a Hollywood movie that honestly I believe is a lot of the part of sex trafficking being normalized in our country? Liam Neeson played Alfred Kinsey in Kinsey, kissing dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the same person. It's like, do you not
kissing
realize?
Kissing one of his students in a hotel, French kissing him.
It's disgusting. And do you not realize that the same guy who is now playing the father that's going to save the daughter is the same one who played
the irony of that.
Yeah.
I, it's like, you have to be kidding me. And Kinsey, with the changing of the laws, Kinsey with pornography, and you see the link, and I can't wait for you guys, especially, I mean, we really bring out that link in episode 4 when you guys get to it, sex trafficking and pornography.
Yeah, it builds just like the NAR movement or the Bethel thing we did.
Yeah, amen. And we'll build up on that too. Oh, don't want to let that one out of the bag. But but no, when you think about it and you put these things together and you're like, why on earth do you not see this, that this Kinsey who you played also was a lot of the reason, that's who Satan just decided to use. He was one of the sons of disobedience that Satan decided to use, so that then, guess what? Pornography normalized. Guess what? Now you have depraved, disgusting men who are addicted to pornography eventually turn into these weirdos that are buying little girls, that are looking at pornography of underage little girls, and it's a direct link because they view women as objects. And this is exactly what happens.
Yeah, you could argue, or you could ask a question. Well, when you talk about abuse, the biggest and most influential engine of abuse is Hollywood by far. And of course, you know, the music industry. I mean, they go hand in hand, right? But it's interesting because of all the promotion, you know, we can go into Polanski getting this basically a standing ovation.
Oh, yeah.
When he was, the U.S. wanted to extradite him, and he was overseas for the pianist, and he gets this standing ovation by Hollywood, even though they knew he drugged a 14-year-old girl, I believe she was, and raped her, and that's why he hasn't been in the country. And it shows you their true feelings. When they stand up, they could care less. I mean, I'm sure some of these folks are sincere, but Weinstein, by and large, yeah, exactly. But when you give this guy a standing ovation, that shows me, I mean, come on, folks, come on, let's think it through. Let's just be real. When you believe it's okay to butcher little baby girls in the womb by the millions, why would you care about any other little girl, you know? Unless she's your own daughter or little boys, you know, they're prey to these folks. And you wonder when all these statues were being pummeled and burned and, you know, dragged down and so forth. You wonder, why was the Hollywood sign still standing up? Been the most abuse. You know what I'm saying? That's right, because that represents Satan's kingdom and Satan wants to protect his stuff.
Yeah, they're strange, strange bedfellows, right? As you have this, they're not so strange when you really get down into it. But, you know, when it comes to pornography, recently Ron Jeremy, one of the most famous porn actors, he was arrested. And now he's been charged with, I think, 17 or 20 counts of assault on women, including a 15-year-old girl where he forcibly put himself on her. And sadly, in Hudsonville, Michigan, a few years ago at Daybreak Church to over 2,000 worshipers, he actually had Ron Jeremy come and speak at his church and said this, quote, "A lot of porn stars believe in God. The majority do. I don't think it's a problem having my kind of lifestyle as long as you're honest." A Queens native and self-described nice Jewish boy, Jeremy has acted in about 2,000 pornos, but that doesn't mean he's a crazy hedonist, he said. So pretty much, come speak at our church, tell everyone, hey, it's not so bad, because what are you telling your church members when somebody comes up there? You're not telling them, oh, these guys need to be witnessed to. What are you telling them? Don't feel so bad. They actually do believe in God.
Or you have Paula White, one of the leaders of the NAR movement and one of the, you know, Trump's advisors, with her husband on stage and her husband encouraging the congregation to look at pornography. I mean, guys, we're in wicked, wicked times with a capital W.
And that's from, you'll hear that clip in episode 3 of our
actually hear that if you want to check out episode 3. Please do.
Get to hear that clip. And this is something really, really important to us because as a pastor, I know Joe has dealt with a number of men who've struggled in this area and having to counsel them and talk to people, especially new converts. That's a big struggle when somebody comes out and comes to Christ. It is something, it's part of that process of sanctification. And some people, it's like, bam, God does that work. And immediately they're like, hey, this is awesome. I don't have these chains. And that's what it is. You are imprisoned and enslaved. That's exactly what Peter warns about, that you are enslaved to those lusts and they are chaining you. And we have an article on Good Fight titled Pornography Through the Lenses of Scripture, and what Scripture has to say about pornography, what Scripture has to say about sexual, you know, deviancy. Because the fact is, and Joe brings this out in the series as well, is that God is the one who's designed sex, and he's designed it under the parameters that we are supposed to meet, that he has given to us. And so when we deviate from that, all you have is death and destruction. And that's what comes out of this. 1 in 4, think about this. This is just one STD. And this was, I think it's a study done 8 or 9 years ago. 1 in 4 girls now have HPV. That's just one of many.
It's epidemic.
Then you add herpes to that. Yep. You add, I mean, add gonorrhea.
Syphilis,
you
know, now.
Syphilis. All of AIDS these things. Still. It's just very common now. For people to have STDs. And a lot of these girls will never be able to give birth because
of... Yeah, that's one of the big problems.
Because of this. And then what happens...
Huge life-changing consequences.
What happens also with sin, when it comes to sexual sin, you get pregnant at a young age, you're nervous about what will happen with the, you know, your parents, what your parents are going to think, and now you don't even have to tell your parents you're going to get an abortion. You can keep that a secret in many states that you're going to murder. Yeah.
Public school you go to will help you out and keep it from mom and dad. And so there's sexual sin, and then there's murder. And, you know, there's people listening to us right now, and perhaps you're caught in sexual sin right now, and you're involved in it. And we just want to let you know we love you, and we're sharing this with you because we care about you. We want people to know the problem. But praise God, there's deliverance. Jesus said he came to set the captives free. He said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He said, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. We have freedom in Jesus, so it's amazing. I rejoice that you can wake up in the morning and you can seek the Lord and cry out to him in prayer and be filled with his Spirit and meditate on his word and make your day about meditating on him and serving him and being a blessing to your God, your creator, and asking to be used by him and using your hands, your arms, your feet as instruments, Paul says, not of unrighteousness as slaves to sin, but as instruments of righteousness. God wants to use you. He longs to use you. Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian who he's given to you, jealously desires to have you and to use you to his glory. And when you grieve him, that's very, very dangerous. When you read Ephesians chapter 4 and then you start reading the chapter 5, it can get very, very dangerous. And so we need to be sensitive to the Lord. We need to, really, our hearts should break over our sin. When you realize, and just think about it, if you're a Christian, you know you have been created in the image of God. You've been blessed. You've been gifted. You've been given so much. But then to think that he doesn't just deserve to have you by virtue of creation. He also bought you with the highest price. You know, God became a man. He gave his life for you and shed his precious blood to save you. So you're twice his, once by divine creation, divine fiat, and once by redemption, buying you. And it says that we're to glorify God in our bodies because we've been bought with a price, you know, and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, how can you join the temple of the Holy Spirit with a prostitute and make the member of Christ one with a prostitute? Meaning, Paul's saying, that is reprehensible. It's unthinkable. And how could you, don't be a peeping Tom. Do you realize if you're into pornography, you're basically being a peeping Tom? I mean, can you just think of a guy that's, you see, all of a sudden, he's peeking in on your mom or your sister or your wife if you're married or your girlfriend. And he's going around the house and looking in the windows to see them naked. What would you think of that guy? Say, that dude's got a problem. Well, guess what? You may be doing the same thing. You're just not going looking through windows. You're looking through the windows on your computer, maybe, or on your iPhone. Okay, it's still just as bad. Okay, if you're hunting down naked women to look at them, Jesus said, when you lust after women like that, he said it's adultery. It's very, very serious, and he said that we need to take serious actions. He talked about, you know, if your right hand causes you to sin, to cut it off, right? If your eye causes you to sin, to poke it out. And obviously, it didn't mean literally, because if you poked out your eye because of a sexual, adultery in the heart, obviously you still have another eye. So Jesus obviously isn't saying, to literally poke out your eye. And so definitely don't take that out of context. But what he is doing is he's saying do something radical, meaning recognize it's better to go, he says it's better to go to heaven maimed than to go to hell with your whole body or both eyes, right? And think about it. What would you give? If somebody offered you $100,000 for your right eye, would you take it? Probably not, because you recognize how valuable your eye is, right? But your soul should be considered far more valuable than your eye to you, because Jesus talked about how you should definitely want to. The point is this, brothers and sisters, is if you're involved in sin and you're using your body or your eyes to run after sin, repent, man, turn from it and recognize. You might be thinking, yeah, Joe, I even listen to you guys. That's my heart. I'm just struggling right now. But guess what? If your heart's to really choose him, you need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in your own strength. And that's the problem, is people say, hey, you need to just repent and so forth. And yeah, you do need to repent, but guess what? You also need to know that God's there to give you strength and empowerment. Where he guides, he provides. We tell people that the Holy Spirit is there to give you power, and it's by the Holy Spirit that we're able to overcome the sins of the flesh. When Paul talks about crucifying the flesh with his affections and desires, and he talks about those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with his affections and desires. Think about this, you guys. We're talking about real Christianity. To become a Christian, Jesus said in Luke 9:23, you must take up your cross daily, right? Deny yourself and follow him. That means you're saying no to living a life in rebellion to God now, right? So those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. You've taken up your cross with his affections and desires. We no longer live for ourselves, amen? And then Paul said, and I love Romans 8:12-13, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, crucify the deeds of the body, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And he goes on to say, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. I love that. That means that you can be led by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? By the help of the third person of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit in your life, as you seek the Father in prayer, you say, Father, give me strength, empower me to overcome sin. We have not because we ask not, but we have, when we ask according to his will, we have it. Is it his will that we overcome porn? Absolutely. So simply ask. And that word ask in the Greek, asking, seeking you shall find, ask, you shall receive, knock at the door shall be open to you. That's all in the present tense. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. So just keep asking. Say, Lord, give me strength to overcome sexual sin. And he will give you strength. He's not partial. He doesn't love Frank more than he loves Jim. He doesn't love Betsy more than he loves Joanne. He loves us all, And you can partake of his love in a greater way than someone else if you simply acquiesce to the overtures and the wooing of the Spirit who calls you into his arms. But as you seek him, you say, Father, give me strength, empower me. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3 that God would not only help us to understand the height. And I love this, guys. He prays that God would help the church at Ephesus to understand the height, depth, width, and length of God's love for them. Why? Why does he want us to understand his love more? Because he who is forgiven much loves much. Because we love him. Because he what? He first loved us. When we can really get our hearts around his love, guess what? It transforms our hearts. That's why we have Typology Tuesday. That's why we're constantly talking about how beautiful Jesus is. But what? Guess what Paul also prays? That we be strengthened in the inner man and be filled with his Holy Spirit. Amen? So we want to fall in love with Jesus more. We want to be filled with the Spirit more. That means surrendering him more and looking to him more. And he will give you the strength and you'll go from victory to victory. Hey, you may not be perfect, but guess what? Sin should become more and more the exception, not the norm in your life as a Christian.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.